G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of Saturday, September 22. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again is Joel Marshall. Well, Joel, we have been building for some time, building again this weekend with Group 1 racing in Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, no, really looking forward to Saturday Golden Rose time in Sydney. We've got 10 colts, or our 10 boys anyway, and one filly to do battle. And down in Melbourne, well, we've got the Sir Rupert Clark. That looks a wide open race. Rail out, a bit of a distance there on Saturday. What is it, 9 metres, I think, rail out. So just the 15 in the Sir Rupert Clark. But the Foundation Cup, formerly known as the Naturalism, that's where a lot of the interest is. It's only a Group 3, but there is a ticket into the Caulfield Cup for the winner, and we get to see a very talented international runner we've already seen perform well here. I speak of Folkswood. He'll carry the top weight. He certainly adds plenty of intrigue. He's probably already in the Caulfield Cup. I think he sits at 20 in the order of entry, so maybe a win's not as vital for him, but his class will certainly take him a long way anyway.
Alrighty, we will start at Caulfield. We'll take you through the black type, which conveniently enough is also the quaddy legs. Starting in race 6, Aquas Jim Maloney Stakes for Pinchapoo, 1400 metres, 3-year-old fillies, listed event.
Yeah, nice race this, obviously. A lot of these will use this. May back up into a Caulfield Guineas, a 1000 Guineas Prelude, sorry. Or just go straight into the Guineas itself, but it's a nice big field, plenty of promising fillies. I'm going to give number 10 Tahitian Dancer another chance. She was caught wide at Mooney Valley first up. I didn't think she gave up the task. She was only beaten just over 4 lengths. She's going to need to improve, and I'm just hoping 1400, she's by Dawn Approach, that should suit, and she can get in with a bit of cover from that good gate. So at big odds, I'm going to give her another go, number 10 from 5 Spanish Whisper. Thought she was okay first Australian start. There was a bit of a spruik around her. She set outside the lead and just knocked up late. Jamie Carter ride, interesting, she'll be able to get her to settle. She was just a little bit keen early in the race. In for third, number 7, Assertive Play. Well, she was the run of the race in the Atlantic Jewel. She's come up with a horror gate here, so she's going to need plenty to go right, but that was certainly an eye-catching run. And number 9, Regine. We saw Chris Lees with his smart filly, Smart Melody, win last Saturday, and this filly looks pretty handy as well. She's got to be kept safe.
Well, the Tasmanians have been going pretty well in Melbourne in the recent weeks, and I'm tipping it to continue on Saturday. The only one that I'm tipping on top is this one, race 6, number 4, Mystic Journey, to beat 8, Anjana, 9, Reg and I, and 13, Bubbles and Troubles. Race 7, you mentioned it, intriguing race, known as the Naturalism Stakes, Group 3 over 2,000 metres. It is the East Malvern Bendigo Bank MRC Foundation Cup, race 7.
Sticking with number 10, Knight's Watch. He handled himself very well, stepping up to wait for age company in the Darto. Ran the quickest last 400 of the meeting to finish third behind Magic Console. Back to a handicap, 2,000 metres should be ideal for him. Damien Lane aboard. If he wins this, he'll go to the Caulfield Cup, obviously, and be a live chance. I think he will be very hard to beat. From 11, Rising Red, who was good first up at Mooney Valley. Over the mile, really knuckled down late and chased home Mossendale strongly. He'll be fitter, step up in distance suits. Number 1, Folkswood in for third. As I said, probably already in the Caulfield Cup where he currently sits, so you know, won't need to have an absolute gut buster. But James Doyle out here to ride, so that's their, probably shown their hand that he's ready to run a big race in his class. Even if he's not fully wound up, his class will take him a long way. And 13 in for fourth, High Arm, just for giving her one bad run at Mooney Valley. In the Darto, she was good there first up, and we've seen the form around Unforgotten hold up already this spring, and she was all round her back in the autumn.
Yeah, Knight's Watch, I think, it certainly ticks all the boxes. Number 10 for second hour, Venice Beach, very impressive first up there. Hayam, I'm forgiving, number 13, just fits that Caulfield Cup winning profile, the Group 1 winning filly coming back at 4, forget the last run, and Folkswood for 4th, number 1, 10, 5, 13, 1. The big one is race 8 at Caulfield on Saturday, Ladbrokes Sir Rupert Clark Stakes, 1400 metre handicap, just worth the half a million, pretty bottom dollar for Group 1 racing, but has certainly attracted an intriguing field. And the Godolphin go with their three horses could go close to the trifecta here, John.
Yeah, certainly. They're all going to be in the market, aren't they? I've got Osborne Bulls in my four. I've sort of gone around the others. Home of the Brave, I certainly concede a strong chance to. I've ended up going for number nine, Sovereign Nation, here at a bit of odds. He was unlucky in this race last year. Got out late, hit the line and ran fourth. He went on to run the place in the Toorak behind Tosin Stardom. He failed to wait for age first up back in the autumn in the Futurity, but then he found form after that. I liked his second at Flemington last start. He chased Land of Plenty. Land of Plenty is going to be one of the favourites. He gets a 5 kilo weight swing on him. I think at 30-1, he's going to go round over the odds. Number nine from 13, Oregon's Day, top class mare, deserves a group one. Both her runs this time in have been good. The weight for age effort and the Memsey certainly suggests she'll be hard to beat in this with a light weight. 15 peaceful state in for third, maybe more a Toorak course. He might need a mile, but it was a very encouraging return from him. And as mentioned, I have put number four, Osborne Bulls. Hard to ignore his record, and he's ticked that Caulfield box with a strong win over Land of Plenty. As I said, Home of the Brave I can certainly entertain, and Land of Plenty, they'd be the other two I'd be looking at for my quaddy.
Yeah, Osborne Bulls. I've got all three Godolphins in my top four, and Osborne Bulls on top because of the other two. Well, you don't know how good Jungle Cat is, but they don't often win this race with 57 or more, which Jungle Cat has 58, Home of the Brave 57. But Osborne Bulls, it's just could just nearly have a black caviar like record, if not for a little bit of bad luck along the journey. And Barrier 8, Craig Williams, just ticks a lot of boxes for this sort of race with just the 55 kilos. Second one, Jungle Cat. Third, seven, Hell of a Street, goes well fresh, the mighty Taswegian, and only gets into this with only two above the minimum. And for fourth, number two, Home of the Brave. So I'm 4-1-7-2. Finally, at Caulfield, last of the black type races, last leg of the quaddie, last race on the card, race nine, Ladbrokes Odds Boost Stakes. 1,200 for the 4 years old and up mares, set weights and penalties at group three level.
I've gone seven. I am excited. She'll be a bit wiser for having had that first start at Caulfield. She ran well. She was just swamped by Alika Zoom late. She'll strip a bit fitter. She's 2 from 3 second up. I think she'll be hard to beat. From 10, Winter Bride, I'm giving a bit of a chance. One of the Queensland mares. She had a really good prep last time in. Won 3 from 4, all of them by decisive margins. The third was in a stakes race on a heavy track. I think she's certainly got the talent to measure up in a grade like this. One Global Glamour, unbeaten at Caulfield, Group 1 winner at Caulfield. She will certainly be hard to beat against mares. And number 14 in for fourth, Platinum Angel, first up from a spell. She showed good talent last time in, and I like that form around Peaceful State. She finished her campaign in Queensland, finished second in a Group 2 behind the Monster. That form certainly doesn't look too bad coming back to mares grade either.
I'm thinking that Elika Zoom can go on with it after that impressive first up win. Barrier 11, not a huge way, I wouldn't have thought, at the 1200. For second, number four, Life on the Wire, another one of these Tasmanians at big odds, fresh. Third, number eight, Epidemic, hard to ignore the overall record, also slightly tricky draw. And number one, Global Glamour, is the class commodity here. 2, 4, 8, and 1. Best on the program, mine was Osborne Bulls, race 8, number 4, and my value bet was not at great value. In fact, shorter than Osborne Bulls, race 4, number 14, Shoko.
My best is Night's Watch, race 7, number 10, and my value is Sovereign Nation, race 8, number 9.
Okay, very tasty card at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday. Not massive fields for the black type races, but plenty of intrigue nonetheless. And the black type starts in race 3. It's the 360 DMG Gloaming Stakes, 1800 for the 3-year-olds. Presumably en route to the Spring Champion and perhaps the Victoria Derby. And David Payne completed that double last year with Ace High, has the toppy, quote-unquote, here in Tarka.
Yeah, not a betting race for me, and I found it tough to assess. I can really make a bit of a case for all six of them, to be honest. I've gone for 2, Irukandji. You had to come wide, which wasn't the place to be in the Stan Fox, and did run all right, ran fourth. Obviously, Tarka won that race, but he was given a peach of a ride by James McDonald, and just hoping the step up in distance and, you know, having had the two runs back now, Irukandji will strip a bit fitter and can turn the tables. On number one, Tarka, five all things might be a big improver. He's the maiden in the field, trained by John Sargent by So You Think. Blinker's first time. He did hit the line nicely at Hawkesbury last time out, so there might be a big improvement in him. And three, Thinking Big, fresh. We haven't seen him since July 28, but he looked a talent in the off-season. Be interesting to see how he's come back fresh up over 1,800 metres.
Race four at Rose Hill on Saturday, JRA Trophy. Seen a few of these go around a few times. It's 2,400 Group 3.
I went three, Etar James. Bit of the, well, fresh blood, I guess. She's only won 6 from 12, relatively unexposed, but she does show good staying promise. I thought the fresh run at Caulfield was good. Just ignoring that run at Mooney Valley, she was caught wide, had a tough run, and, yeah, just put a pen through that. She will stay the 2,400, no dramas. She's on top from 8, Goatland, who was good at Newcastle. It was a race that was run pretty quickly, set up for the back markers, and I thought Goatland stuck on well. Number 6, Sin to Win, nice return from him in the Heatherly. 1,700 to 2,400, I guess that's the query, but he can run well. And number 2, Harper's Choice, also comes through that Newcastle Cup. He was also pretty close to the speed.
Race 5 at Rose Hill on Saturday, Schweppes Shannon Stakes, Group 2 over 1,500. And Waller might hold the key with a couple of rising stars here in Young Star and Noir.
Yeah, a couple of very smart mares. On with 6 Young Star. She probably did everything I thought she would. First up in the tramway, hit the line strongly without ever looking a winning hope. They went back from the wide gate. But she was right on the place getter's heels over the line. It was a super first up run. She looks to have taken that next step. I think she can win this and go on to be a major player in a race like the Caulfield Cup. 5 Noir, stablemate in for second. 1,200 to 1,500, but she did do that last prep. She went 1,200 to a mile, in fact, and ran really well in Queensland. 2 R beats him. He might just try and really run them along here. He went pretty quick in the Cameron last week and got tired late, but he's had the two runs back, third up. He might really use that fitness, and that's probably his chance of causing a mini upset. And 4 Kingsguard will improve, having had that first up run in the Theo Marks.
Race 6, JHB Syndications Golden Pendant, 1,400 for fillies and mares at Group 2 level. And we see Ronnie Quinton's ever reliable top class pair. Daisy Doom and Dixie Blossoms are among these.
Yeah, this is a nice race. Only did 10 runners, but you can make a case for certainly a handful of them. I've gone with number 2, Daisy Doom. I think she can improve sharply on that Scirocco. She was just a little bit slow away and then had to be used up to get close to the pace. She was 3 wide, no cover. Thought she battled on pretty well considering. Drawn much better. She can get a soft trail. She won this last year. She goes good second up. Happy to stick with her. From 1 Prompt Response, she got that Group 1 win in the Tats Tiara. She's just a real genuine mare in the Quinella, 16 of 27. She has trialled well. D. Oliver has won aboard her. 10 Shamook in for third. Just the one win, but geez, she's run into some good horses. Second to D'Argento, second to Elise, third to Shoals, fifth to Unforgotten, all Group 1 horses. She will take good improvement from that fresh run at Wyong. And number 4, Invincibella, who did beat Noir first up. She looks to have come back in good order.
The big one is race 7, the Bortley Wines Golden Rose Stakes, 1,400 for 3-year-olds at set weights. A Group 1, as I've written in Best Bets and Winning Post this week, no, one filly has won the Golden Rose. 40 of them have tried. The only one that won was Forensics, and that year, of course, it was run in the autumn because it was wiped out by equine influenza in the spring. So in the spring Golden Rose, 37 of them have tried. None have won. And there's only one of the 56 nominations left here, and that's Seabrook. But she's the highest rated 3-year-old in the race. Would be giving them 1.5 kilos if it was a handicap, and instead gets 2 kilos off them. Winning form behind her from that first up third, but a more reliable guide to this Golden Rose over the years has certainly been the Run to the Rose, and you're talking the likes of Lean Mean Machine and particularly the unlucky Graph, Joel.
Yeah, well, I was really torn in this race. 2 colts I really like a lot, Graf and the Autumn Sun. And I've elected to go Graf from a better draw and just thinking maybe Caulfield Guineas is the Autumn Sun's race. But Graf was dominant in the San Domenico first up. Wide gate, probably all that beat him in the Run to the Rose. It was a really game effort. Lean Mean Machine was able to run him down coming through along near the inside late. It was a good win by Lean Mean Machine, not sort of knocking him, but I think Graf can turn the tables. I think he'll run a strong 1400 with a soft up run. To the Autumn Sun, well, he was just a tragedy in the Stan Fox, held up, checked, and still had the audacity to hit the line for third. Back 100 metres, so it's a bit of a sort of a funny prep, I guess. I'm just hoping that the Graf can sort of pinch a break and hold him out, but won't be shocked if he gets the cash. 11 Seabrook, the filly. You spoke about filly's record in this race. I've thrown her in for third. She's got to be a chance. Mick Price talking her up. She's performed well in Sydney, and her first up run was very encouraging. And number one, Lean Mean Machine, as I said, no real knock on that win. He got a peach of a ride and probably found the right part of the track, but it was a good effort. He should still have a bit of room for improvement.
Yeah, I should have added that fillies have in fact run second the last 2 years, albeit well beaten, but it's not a huge sample. There's only been 15 of these, so it's nothing to put the house on. Now, Joel, we have heard about your best bet at Rose Hill, and that was race 5, number 6, Young Star. Take us into race 8 and tell us about your value bet, and that is number 9, the Japanese bred Fierce Impact.
Yeah, nice type this. He's by Deep Impact. Trialled well. He debuted in Australia at a midweek race. They went right back from the outside gate, savaged the line for third at massive odds, and then took that form into a Saturday benchmark 77 race and won. He's trialled up really well leading into this. Benchmark 88, just perfect for him really at this stage of his career. He gets in with the 54, and I just think he's got stacks of upside about him. I think he'll be very hard to beat. And that's probably about it. In the last race, Jake's Hill. I know Carl Diorio is quite keen on him, and so am I at a bit of odds. Race 9, number 11.
All righty. Morfordville comes to life this Saturday. I've had some small fields there, but big ones this time, including two listed races. The Tokyo City Cup is race 6 over 1800 metres, although this one is down to 9 runners already. A couple of early scratchings. Richo's value bet comes up here, and that's another Japanese horse, and that's the Darren Weir train, number 7, Danon Liberty. Joel, you had a look at the Tokyo City Capital?
Just a quick look, just to notice that 60's Groove goes around. Of course, we were all over him at good odds at his first few runs in Australia, and then he came out and went bang bang at odds on. They gave him a bit of a let up. I think he had some shin soreness, so interesting to see him return pretty quickly, less than 2 months off. I'd be keen to see how he goes in that race.
And the WH Wiley Handicap is race 7 at Morfordville. It's over 1100 metres, and it's got a full field of 18 going around. Richo's selection, another Weir runner, number 12 Holy Blade, but at a bit of odd, $17. Demerara ticks a lot of boxes, but has barrier 18. What do you like here?
I'll be having something on number 8, Michael Lill. I think she just, well, we saw her really go to another level for Mark Minervini last prep. Got the Group 1 placing in the Sangster, and her trial the other day suggested she had come back in just as good a form. If she gets a bit of luck from the draw, I think she'll be very hard to hold out.
And Richo's best race 8 is value. That was, in fact, down on Liberty. Richo's best race 8, number 4, Free Hearted. Also for Weir. And Lockie King takes 3 kilos off, does have a fairly, well, in fact, has the outside gate now that the Hadatsa has been scratched. And I'm pretty sure that was one of James Jordan's gems as well. James Jordan's gems are, of course, a feature of your winning post, so pick it up if you haven't already. Sunshine Coast is the venue for Queensland Metro Racing on Saturday, Joel. And the first of your specials comes up in race 7. At 4:42 Eastern, and that is number 10 for Robbie Heathcote, Old Habits.
Yeah, he was really good first up at this venue back on September 1, hit the line strongly at 1,200 metres. He was a bit flat last Saturday. He went up to 58 kilos, and his previous second up record was one placing from 5 goes, now reads one placing from 6. So I think we can just forget that. On the quick backup, I think he'll be fine. Inside draw, back to 54. And he's won 2 from 4 at the Sunny Coast. So I think he can bounce straight back from that second up run. And my best is in the last, race 9, number 6, Rock for the Ladies. Jeff Lloyd to ride for Claire Cunningham. She sent this bloke up to Queensland for his latest run. He was caught wide, trailed into the race and hit the line strongly at 1350. He's drawn wide again, but 1600 should be ideal for him. He's 2 from 4 at the distance. And as I said, just does get the services of Jeff Lloyd.
Okay, Belmont Saturday, which is where I'm going to be, as a matter of fact, but I don't somehow think I'm going to be taking a very close interest in the racing because I'm going to be at Optus Stadium getting assailed by 57,400 screaming lunatics. But anyway, I'm sure that I'll have a great... It'll be a memorable day, one way or the other. And in fact, actually, the game will be over by about 3:30 local time, so that will give you time to have something on BJ Ryan's Best of the Day at Belmont. It's not going to give me enough to get home because it's only on $1.75, but he did tell you on debut, race 5, that Battlestorm would be winning at around about $1.60, and apparently it's going to win again. Potential star Battlestorm for Peter's Investments, of course, Adam Durant and Willie Pike, unleashed a powerful turn of foot over this track and distance, up in grade. Has him covered though, race 5, number 7, Battlestorm. And his bet, his value bet, I should say, comes up in the next, and he's going up against the Durant and Pike team, although it's not a Peter's Investments horse, and that's Electric Light at about $2.50. BJ reckons that race 6, number 6, Reykjavik, can knock Electric Light off. Earlier in the day, probably too early for me, Perth time, we go to Hastings and we have a Group 1 race, and that is over 1,600 metres, the Wait for Age Windsor Park Plate.
Yeah, and we're hoping to get a bit of Aussie interest in the race. Darren Weir sending across Raw Impulse, but left on the ballot at the moment, second emergency. He is down to run in race 7, the open handicap over 2,000 metres, if you're interested in him, but I know he's burnt a few Aussie punters before, so I don't know if you'd want to be stepping in. But in the Group 1, I've gone for a little bit of value, I think, number 8, Lizzie L'Amour from the Baker Forsman Yard. We saw this mare sent over by the team last spring, and she had no luck at Moonee Valley. I think, can't remember what race it was. I think it might have been one of the night meetings, one of the features, and she just had no luck at all. And then I think she went off. She had a bit of a setback, but she went back to New Zealand, won a Group 1. 1,600 first up's good for her, and she's trialled up all right. I think a little each way bet on her. Not jumping off Scott Bass, who was my tip in the first leg of the Hastings or Hawke's Bay Triple Crown. He finished midfield, but he was warming up late, 1,600 or so. High flyer in for third. And 6, Windspell, can also improve. I've got him in for 4th. Lizzie L'Amour is my value. My best bet for Hastings is Grand Eagle, race 3, number 3. Son of Redwood, debut was good. Hit the line strongly for 2nd. First up here has trialled well. I'd say the danger would be number 9, Thomas Aquinas, also from the Baker Forsman Yard. So maybe a Quinella in that race. The other meeting down in the south is at Riccarton. My best bet is a first starter, race 2, number 11, Sacred Courts. Tony Pike has sent a team down to the south, and this Son of Zeus Stars trialled up really well. It'd be interesting to see what price they go up. I'd say the bookies will be onto it, but he should be very hard to beat. And my value was in the last. Race 11, number 13, Cora Bella. Mixed her form a little bit last time in, but the best of her would certainly go close here, and I think 1,400 first up, she can certainly be hitting the line strongly.
Alrighty, that takes care of a massive Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. It's got all the form, not only for Saturday, but also Friday and Sunday. Bumper edition, gone up to 104 pages this week. And that has left plenty of room for all your favourite features as well as all that form I mentioned earlier. Finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend. Joel, I might, Osborne Bullseye made my best, but I might actually go at Caulfield, race 5, number 7, YPO.
Oh, yeah, from the Edmonds Yard. Wasn't a bad run first up.
No.
I will go Knights Watch, race 7, number 10. I think I've had him twice recently for a win and a third, so hopefully we'll get back in front with another win from him.
Fantastic. All right, everybody. Back. Plenty of winners. Have a great weekend. And Joel and Carl, because I'm having a week off, we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.